I think everything's been said this morning that I'm going to talk about and sung about, so might be the Lord's telling us something. Just give it to the Lord. Lord, Heavenly Father, just praise your glorious, your wonderful name. Thank you for this amazing opportunity to open your word together, Lord. And I just pray that you take everything of me away. Let it all be of you. Let our hearts be ready to hear your word, Lord, and our ears open to know what you want us to do. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. All right, if you can, I've entitled it, Our Final Victory. Now, I know that'll strike fear into the heart of Mike and Aaron. So I was going to talk about another victory, but I won't in the final, but I won't do that one. All right. The buzzard can see a mouse from over 3 miles away, perfectly. Okay, so see if you can see where that one fits in as we go through. If you can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, please. I'm going to read from verse 50 to 58. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does perishable inherit imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. But the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Now, I knew this was for today because Jeff used that verse last week, was it, I think? You finished with that verse, didn't you? Yeah. So it's a scripture that's been, for quite a few weeks, you know, when the Lord wants you to speak on something, you just can't get away from it. It keeps coming back to it all the time. And when I was reading through the Corinthians, the background, it's a letter written by Paul around 55 AD. It was a very morally corrupt city, the Corinthians. When I did a bit of research on it, the actual name was quite synonymous with debauchery and moral depravity. And it said you were Corinthianized if you were involved with all this stuff. And it came to represent drunkenness and gross immorality. And as I say, that you can, when you know a little bit about the background, you can see why Paul was writing what he was writing. And it was after Menno had spoke, and he said, you need to see the whole picture first, and then you can understand what all the little bits are for. So when I was looking at this whole picture, Corinthians, it's quite a scathing letter when you read it. You know, we pick bits out, you know, you go to a wedding, they have Corinthians 13 for love and this and that. But when you actually get into the scripture, Paul is constantly battling with the Corinthians. He's constantly going over and over the gospel, right down to the basics all the time. And he's reaffirming it because they were very, very full of themselves, the Corinthians. They love to speak. Very proud people. And as I say, from the research, they love knowledge, they love philosophy and learning. And then the more people who would listen to them, the better they felt. You know, very, very orate. And if you're like me, I had to look what that meant up in my dictionary. And it says to deliver an oration or a speech and speaking pompously. And that's what they were like. The more pompous they were, the better it was. And tragically, it was also true in the church as well. And that's why Paul is constantly battling, defending the gospel all the time. And it said in 1 Corinthians 5 that the sins in the church were that bad that even the Gentiles were shocked at what was going on. So you can see this battle that he's got right the way through. He's going over. He's defending the gospel, the very, very basics of the gospel. He's looking at the Lord's Supper, how to do that properly. He's telling them how to love each other properly. You know, how you should act in a meeting when you get together. He went right back to the basics of Christ. He did die on the cross. And he did raise from the grave. You know, right the way back, right the way through Corinthians, he's saying this over and over again. And then he was telling them that he is coming back. And if you notice the theme this morning, seems to be what's going on. And then he even said to them, well, you know, if this isn't true, what I've told you, and he didn't rise from the dead, then we are the saddest people on the planet. You know, what on earth are we sitting here for this morning when we could be out running or playing golf or whatever it might be? You know, we are the saddest people on earth, sitting here believing something that isn't true. But it is true. You know in your spirit that it's true. And he goes on like that, and he comes up to the end of this first book, Corinthians, where he's saying, you know, he's come on back. You know, and we're looking for this blessed hope, this Redeemer is coming back for us. And the first part, he says, you know, flesh and blood can't inherit this kingdom. You know, it doesn't matter how pompous you are, how proud you are, how much knowledge you've got, you're not going to get into the heaven if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. This was his message all the time. Flesh and blood can't inherit it. It's got to be immortality. You know, you've got to put your fleshly life away. And one of the verses that stood out was in Romans 8, which I thought felt was an amazing passage to back what he was saying up. Romans 8, verse 1 to 6. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, the law of sin, was to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in a sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. When I read that, you thought, wow, you only have to switch the news on. You can see that scripture is evidence wherever you go. They don't want to know God. The more you seem to preach the word, especially in your own families, the further away they seem to be. And it breaks your heart, you know, when you're praying and praying for them and you think, Lord, what on earth is going on here? You know, I know you're coming back. I'm waiting for you to come back. But these people that you love so much are so far away, and they seem to be getting further and further away, getting sucked into the world. And it's only through his grace that they will be saved. There's nothing we can do, nothing we can do at all. All we can do is pray for them and love them. That's all we can do. And it's in his time, in his perfect, perfect time. And then he goes on to mention mysteries. Now, there's thousands of mysteries you can come up with in nature, in life, whatever. But a few of them that I picked out, we won't go to all of them. The mystery of why do the wicked prosper? You know, it always seems to be the drug dealer down the road's got the best car, the best house, whatever it might be. You know, you can't even get some food on the table. You're just about paying the mortgage or something, things like that. New birth. Spiritually new birth, we don't know what happens. It happens, but we don't know why or how. Birth of a baby, you know, conception of a baby, unbelievable, a mystery, amazing miracle. Christ and the church, that's another mystery. You know, when you read all these things right through Scripture, we believe them, but we haven't got it. The knowledge to understand fully what it is. Yeah, we will when we see them, when we're standing with them. Suffering. You know, why do we suffer? We're born again Christians. You know, but we go through suffering. We heard on Wednesday the horrendous suffering our brothers and sisters are going through all over the planet. And yeah, for some reason, they're going through it, but they're rejoicing. You know, we read about Paul and Silas the other week, just being beaten to an inch of their life, stuck in the middle prison dungeon, chained together, and yet they're singing praises to the Lord. In the world, that wouldn't happen. It's only through the Lord Jesus. It's only that power the Lord gives you to do that. The redemptive power of Christ, that's another mystery. You know, we don't know how it happens. You know, why does he pick me? I'm just a sad scouser, you know. But he deemed it necessary to save me, pick me up, dust me down, take my sins away. There you go, and put you on the road. You know, we think about our own personal walk. Why has he chosen you? Why has he chosen me? But he does, to bring glory to his name. And then you look at God, his unsearchable ways. If we just have a look at Job 11, have a look at that one, please. Job 11, verse 7. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? You know, I was looking at Saturn the other night through my telescope, and you think, wow, he just spoke, and it was there. And try and get your head around that one. You know, I'm looking through this telescope, and it's on an angle where you can see the rings around it, and it's unbelievable. And I'm just sitting there for about an hour in the garden, in the backyard. Dogs had had enough, they'd gone in. You know, they were that bored. Joe hadn't come out, the kids wouldn't. I'm texting everyone, come and see Joe sat, and no one had come down and sit with me. I'm just blown away, you know. And the other one, a bit further over, was Jupiter. So I'm looking at these amazing things, and I'm thinking, wow, he just spoke that, and it was there, you know. And they're just the first things he did. You know, there's so much more that he did. And you just can't grasp it at all, you know. It just blows you away. And every time I look at that, it blows me away, especially the way Saturn is. Sometimes you can't see it because it's on a straight angle, but this one, it's on a pivot and it's on the side, so you can see the whole set of rings around it. And just all I could do in the garden was just, oh Lord, you are amazing. This is unbelievable. And as I say, you could go right through Scripture for all these mysteries. But the one he's saying there is that we'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. Although it was written so long ago, almost 2,000 years ago, are we the ones who aren't going to sleep? Are we the ones who are going to see the Lord coming back? Are we the ones who are going to, we've gone? You know, or is it for another generation? You know, he wrote it then. They were expecting the Lord to come back. But we're all going to change either way. And when I was looking at the twinkling of an eye, it said, this isn't the Bible I was using, it said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. A moment in Greek is where we get the word atom from, atmos. And it's like a fraction of a second. It bangs even faster than that. And when it says a twinkling of an eye, I was looking at, do you want to get up and say everything I'm going to say there? It's all right, isn't it? It's giving me the boost then. Blink of an eye. So when you looked at it, when I was looking at it, the blink of an eye, they've measured it, how these scientists do these things, and it's approximately a third of a second it takes to blink your eyes. So that's like 300 milliseconds. And I'm just going, wow, that's amazing. Because as I'm sitting, where I'm sitting doing me talks, I've got this fancy wallpaper in our house with birds and flowers, and it looks like dead posh when you walk in. It's the dining room, so it's the posh room. And I'm sitting there and I'm blinking, thinking, next time I open my eye, I could be in glory. You know, if I can keep blinking and I'm still seeing the birds and all that. And And it really struck a chord with me. You know, the next time you blink, you could be in glory. That's how fast it's going to happen, faster than that. Are we ready for that? It's quite scary sometimes when you think about it, isn't it? You know, with that fast, it's going to be faster than that. 1 minute you're here, next minute bangy with the Lord in the clouds. I just put down, it was mind-blowing. I couldn't get my head around it, and I'm sitting there blinking, looking at these birds, and I'm still here, like that. But the question the Lord put on my heart was to those people is, which eternity will it be, though? Because death comes that fast as well. You know, you could be walking, bang, you've gone. So which eternity are you going to be in? Are we truly ready for the Lord when he does come back? For that last blink, that last breath, whatever it might be. Are we ready to hear that trumpet? I am. I can't wait for that trumpet. I know my knees won't be killing me anymore then, so I'll be fully fit. Do we long to hear it? When we read the words, we sing the songs, but do we really long for that time when the Lord's coming back? Or are we saying, oh, you know, I've just booked my holiday to Disneyland, Lord, you know, wait till next Christmas or something like that, or, you know, let's get me 51st birthday out the way, or whatever it might be. Or are we longing so much? Yeah, I just want to be with the Lord. And when that trumpet does come, if we are truly born again, are we ready for what it's going to herald? Or are we not ready for what it's going to herald? Because we know what's going to happen. So two questions I'll ask you. See if you're ready. Okay. Do you know when you're going to die? No. Okay, next one then. When's the rapture? Don't know. Okay. Don't know. Okay. Only the Father knows. So all these scriptures have been taken this morning. So he's the only one who knows. He knows when our last breath's going to be. He knows when the Lord's coming back. And he knows exactly to the second when it's going to happen. We don't know anything at all. And life on this earth is brief. Compared to eternity, it's very, very brief. Some of us have had friends who died when I was a teenager. My mates died when they were teenagers. So in our context of life, that was very brief. You know, we've had babies in our family who've died, so that's even briefer again. You know, so we don't know. That's the question. We don't know when the Lord's coming back or when he's going to call us back. We all talk about the rapture. You know, there's massive discussions going on about the rapture. Oh, you know, you've got to look at this and this, whatever. But the Lord could call us home anytime, any one of us at any age. You know, we haven't got this God-given right. We're going to get to 85, 90, and then fall asleep and wake up in heaven. It doesn't work like that. You know, I've had too many friends die in this life to know that that doesn't happen right the way through. And as I was reading through this, it was talking about, you know, we're going to change from that twinkling of an eye. Perishable must be put imperishable, mortal with immortality. Then the saying which is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? And I found that the key word there was then, in that passage, then. The sting of death, it's horrendous if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I say, there's been so many funerals I've been to when I wasn't a Christian. And the pain that you have inside when you've lost someone in your family or a friend or whoever it might be, you know, you're standing around this hole in the floor and that's it. You're never going to see them again. But when you know Jesus, it's totally different. You go to a believer's funeral and it's like when Rob died, I went to his funeral, we were all there, and it's like he was going, well, he was in glory. It was just amazing. It's totally different. This amazing time, because you knew where he was, you knew what he believed in, you knew it was real, and you know that we're going to see him again. And that sting had gone. There wasn't any of that sting there. Sad. We loved him and we wanted him to be with us, but the Lord needed him more. You know, and this, it's only through Jesus Christ that that'll happen. That we've got to be grounded in him. And then that verse, that's when we can shout that verse, where's your sting, death? It doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother me. Yeah. One of the commentaries I was looking at was saying, it's like a bee stinging you, but there's no sting in it. It's just, you can see it's the back of it, its abdomen goes like that, and stingy, but there's nothing there. It doesn't affect you. And that's what it's there's no effect on us if we're truly born again, if we're washed in that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Death won't be that final curtain. You know, it's the beginning of eternity. I'd say when I was reading it, it was blowing me away what was going on. One verse, just to have a look at that, was if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. I'm starting verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life, immortality, to the light through the gospel. And that's the power of the gospel. It's got the power to change a life in an instant, like that twinkling of an eye in an instant. But without Christ, that's all we've got left to look forward to is death. I've got a few scriptures I'd like just to read out. Job 10, verse 9, please. This is what it's like if Christ isn't in your heart. It's Job 10, and it's verse 9. Remember that you moulded me like clay. Will you now turn me to dust again? So there, Job's made us, the Lord's made us out of dust. We go back to dust. Psalm 89. Verse 48. It says, what man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave? There's nothing we can do. Nothing at all. We can't save ourselves. We can't stop ourselves from dying. Although, if you look at the world now, that's all they ever want to do, isn't it? They want to prolong your life. Eat this food, you'll live till you're 90. You know, get yourself frozen, we'll bring you back in the 300 years' time, whatever. But eternity is right in front of their face. But they don't want to know. They don't want to know the Lord. The answer's staring them in the face. But they're looking for every other thing apart from the truth. Hebrews 9, please, verse 27. This is one of the scariest verses in Scripture if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as man is destined to die once and after that face judgment. So it's quite a bleak outlook. If you don't know Jesus, you haven't got him in your heart. If you're not truly walking with him, that's all we've got to look forward to. Judgment. But we don't know when it's coming. So it's a very, very slippy slope to be on. So as you go through verse 57 to 58, he talks then, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. And I couldn't get away from verse 57 to make that. That'll be enough to sing for eternity over. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, gives us the victory. We don't deserve it, but he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. When I was looking at that, there's just a few things that would come, coming playing in my head. You know, we can't stop ourselves from being born. We don't know when we're going to be born. We don't know where we're going to be born, what country, what nationality, what religion, whatever. We don't know. The Lord knows. He knows everything. He knows us before we were even made in our womb. We can't stop ourselves from dying. We don't know when that's going to happen. It's going to happen. We know it's going to happen, but we can't stop it. The only thing we can do is in between is make one choice. That's all you need to make one choice. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you will be saved. Call upon his name. And then that ending won't matter then. It won't matter when it happens. It doesn't matter if it happens this afternoon. It doesn't matter if it happens tonight, next week, next year, whatever it might be. The Lord Jesus is in your heart. And you can have that assurance in your heart. But we've got to be truly born again. We've got to be in him always. And as I say, as I was going through this, I was looking at, well, what is there for us? If we are born again, if we're truly born again in Christ, our reward is sure, it says right through Scripture. Therefore, we must be soul winners in Daniel 12. Daniel 12 tells us we've got to be soul winners. Got to be out there preaching that gospel, as Rick said. But not just once a month, every day. Wherever you are, we've got to be ready in season and out of season. It might just be one word, it might be one sentence, it might be one little action. But that will change someone's life. A little book given to you, or a verse from a book given to you, can change your life. Matthew tells us we should be humble servants. Humility. So the Lord, it oozed from him, didn't it? He wasn't weak, he was a humble person. Doesn't mean he's a weak person. You know, we've got to put each other first before ourselves. Faithful stewards, going about what the Lord wants us to do. You know, we're not stupid. We read the Bible. We know what it says. Do it. You don't need to ring Jeff up 55 times a week to say, what should I do now? Should I do that? What about the Spirit's there. The Spirit will guide you. You know, we've got to stand on our own two feet. And then it says in Romans, we've got to be the good of all nations. We've got to pass that message on, starting in Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. You know, when we see what was happening in Athens, it really affected me on Wednesday night. I couldn't sleep most of that night listening to that. And I've always had the heart for the persecuted church anyway, but to know that it's on the doorstep brings it a bit closer to home then. You know, as we've said quite a few times, it's all right if it's on the telly. It doesn't affect me. It's not happening in our street. It's not happening in our neighbourhood. It's on the telly, so it's okay. But these are our brothers and sisters. If it's happening to them, it's happening to us because it's happening to Christ. It's affecting them. So we should be on our knees praying for these people, praying for the peace in our land, for peace of the gospel to go ahead. You know, we pray for the peace in Jerusalem, the peace for the gospel to be preached. That's what's got to happen here. We've got to pray for these leaders, whoever it is. We haven't got a clue who it's going to be. I don't think they know who it's going to be. But we need the Lord there. The Lord knows who it is, but we need people who know the Lord, who trust in the Lord. Because we've seen what people who don't trust the Lord do. They just go as far away from the Lord as they can. It's the massive Pride Festival in Liverpool next weekend. So I've been through town this week a few times with Joe. And I've never seen anything like it. Every shop's getting the flags up, they're putting posters in the windows. It breaks my heart. And then you've got members of your own family who are part of it, or want, because their businesses are part of it. And I just felt sometimes a lot of these places are doing this for fear of what's going to happen, the repercussions of it. You know, freedom of speech. Unless you believe in what they believe, it's not freedom of speech, is it? It's going very, very quickly, and that's our persecution at the moment. Our freedom of speech is going, unless we believe in what they want us to believe, and we go with the status quo. And it's going to come a time when we're going to have to stand up and go, no, it's the world or the Lord, and it is getting closer and closer. And that's why we've got to be so grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we do get to glory, we're going to get a crown. I was like, oh, boss, I was looking at that. I was like, boss, crowns, I love crowns. 1 Corinthians has said it's going to be an incorruptible crown. So it's not going to waste away. You make crowns with the kids when you were in school with them. And as soon as they get out the classroom, it falls and breaks and goes all over the place and they're crying. And it's a righteous crown, crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy. The crown of life. I was like, oh, wow, let's boss that one. James, and the crown of glory. You know, you can imagine that day when we stand in front of him and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. And another mystery to me, that one, though, when we actually stand there and we see him for that very first time and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I just, it just leaves you speechless. You get goosebumps all over your arms when you saw him. But then the Lord says, the crown that you get, we've got to guard it. We've got to guard that crown. It says, let me read that one together. If we look in Revelation 3, verse 11. So it says, I am coming soon. So there's the theme today, isn't it? If you notice the theme right through the songs as well, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. So again, like he was saying to the Corinthians, you know, why have you gone away so quickly? I've told you the truth. I've told you the truth. I've told you the truth. And yeah, within a blink of an eye, they're starting to go back into the world. You know, and that's why we've got to be so careful that we don't get sucked into what's going on in the world. You know, we're concerned about it, we pray about it, but if we get too much sidetracked that way, we can take our eyes off the Lord and we'll get taken into whatever is going on. You know, I know personally how that feels, and it's not a nice place to be. It's a very dark place when you take your eyes off the Lord and you drift, and before you know it, those rocks are, they're on top of you. You're not heading for them. And I just found, as I'm reading right through this, you know, if 57 was all that was there, thanks be to God for he has given us the... Let's be patient. I'm not used to this Bible, sorry. It's one of small one that can fit on this table. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's enough for me. Yeah. Nothing I've done, nothing I deserve, but he has done it. And it's through his victory. And to me, that's enough. You know, nothing else happens in my life. That would be enough. Knowing I've got that assurance. Yeah, but there are other things that we want. You know, we want our brothers and sisters saved with us. We want our wives and husbands standing with us when we stand there in glory. You know, we want the people we meet in the streets. That's what Paul kept saying. You know, what's my glory? That you're all standing there with me when I'm standing before the Lord. You know, here's the three people I met last Saturday. They're standing there with me. That's the glory, that we've been faithful to the Lord. And what can we do then? You know, when I'm reading through that, it says, what can we do if we are truly born again? You know, when we can say that truthfully, where's the sting death? Where is it? It's not going to affect me. When we know we're walking with the Lord, when we are born again, we're spirit filled, what can we do? And he says in 58, therefore, dear brothers, stand firm and let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. And that's the first thing we need to do in everything, is give thanks in everything. Not just when we come on a Sunday, but when you get up every morning, the first thing we do is we give thanks to the Lord that we've woke up. we're still healthy, we're still able to get up, we're still able to talk, give glory to the Lord. And we're thankful for the for our partners, for your wife, for your husband. You're thankful for your kids. Sometimes they can pull on them strings, but that's part of being a parent, isn't it? It's part of them growing up. But it's giving thanks for them all the time, no matter what they're doing. They're from the Lord. They're a gift from the Lord. We've got to give thanks. Are we giving thanks in our work? Or are we getting up, oh, geez, the work again. I've got to go to work. It's doing me head in. Can't stand this. Oh, no, that fella on the bus again. Don't want to sit next to him. Yeah. You know, they always seem to make a beeline for you, don't they, on the train or the bus. You know, but are we seeing it as an opportunity to preach the gospel, to speak to them? Yeah. Are we giving thanks in everything that we do? That's what he wants. That's what he wants us to do. In every situation, like we've seen with Paul and Silas, in a dungeon, stripped, skin ripped to pieces, and yet they're praising the Lord. Don't know why. The Spirit's telling them to do it. They're doing it because it's going to affect the life of someone else. And the prisoners, they didn't run off. They were there listening to them. Yeah. The jailer got saved, him and his whole household. But if they'd have sat there moaning and complaining, oh, my back's killing me, oh, you know, stop pulling them chains, you're killing my feet, it wouldn't have happened. You know, they'd have lost that chance. But they didn't. They knew the Lord. They knew he was real. And they knew who they believed in. Two, we've got to keep steadfast and unmovable in our faith. We've got to keep steadfast and unmovable in our belief in and on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's no other name by which a person can be saved. Precious word is living word. Do we long to get the Bible out? Or is it a bit of a chore sometimes? I'm a bit tired tonight, so I won't be reading that, I won't be doing that. Or do we want to get it? Do we want to get up and read the word? Do we want to get up that bit earlier just to read the word? Or any 5 or 10 minutes, you know, I ended up putting it on my phone, downloading it on my phone, and just listening to it sometimes. Sometimes I can't read it because I'm working, so I'll have it on the speaker and I'm listening to it. Are we steadfast and unmovable in the promises that he's given us? And that he is coming back. That's the big one. He is coming back. And it just seems to be the theme over and over. If you've noticed the last few months, it's saying the Lord is coming back. He's coming back for the church that's ready. You know, we've got to keep working for the Lord in everything that we do and say. Everything we do or say for him, he says here, is not in vain. It's not in vain. It'll always return to the Lord, and he will bless it in whatever we do. Every conversation we have, you know, every time we pray, however big the prayer is or small the prayer is, how quick the prayer is, it matters to the Lord. It's because we're being obedient to him. We're seeing a situation, bang, is the first thing we do, pray about it, or pray for a situation, whatever it might be. Or is it something that, oh, I should have done that, shouldn't I? I should have prayed for that. I should have spoke to that person then. I've missed it now. What am I going to do now? It's getting, you know, if it's a shoulder just to cry on, sometimes you don't need to say anything. Sometimes you just need to be there for someone. Just give them a hug. Just say you're there for them. That's all it takes sometimes. And he says everything that we do truly in his glorious name will not be done in vain. Yeah, so you have a look at Hebrews 6, please. And verse 10. So God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So he's not an unjust God. He's a just God. And he knows everything that we do. He knows everything that we say. But the greater thing is, he knows if we've done it truly for him in our heart. Or are we doing it for show? Are we letting people know every time we do something? Oh, you seen what I've just done? Yeah. Scripture says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, doesn't it? Just do it. You don't need other people to know. The Lord knows. And if you look in Mark chapter 9, please. And verse 41. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. So even just a cup of water in some instances. Doesn't matter how small it is. If it's done in Christ, it's eternal. The Lord will remember it. And as I was coming to the end of it, I'm just praying and praying about it, praying that we never lose that desire to be on fire for the Lord. We never lose that desire to be filled with the Spirit. To be truly born again, filled with the Spirit, walking daily in the Spirit, listening to the Word, listening to His voice, listening to that Spirit, checking us all the time, you know. And there's so many times in the past where you've known something, the Lord was saying something, and you hadn't done it, and then you've lost it again. It's like the Egyptian, the Israelites, isn't it, round the mountain again. You've missed it, round the mountain again, you know, and then next time, is it going to be easier, is it going to be harder? So if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, please. I'm just going to start in verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from the secure position, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Saviour. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And that's what we've got to do. Keep growing and growing in grace. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. We need to be aware of it, to pray for it. But we need to be more in focus with the Lord. Every single day, we've got to get closer and closer. And as I mentioned, the buzzard at the beginning, it's got to be at a certain height to see the mouse from 3 miles away. It won't see the mouse at 3 miles away if it's sitting in its tree, sitting on its nest. It's got to get to a certain height. It's got to go higher and higher and higher. And if you ever watch the buzzards, they don't move. They just glide on the Thames. And once it knows where its dinner is, it knows exactly what to do. And before the mouse has even turned round, it's gone. So, like that buzzard, we've got to get deeper and deeper and deeper into the Word. The deeper into the Word we get, the more we can see. The more we can see the Lord and what he wants us to do. Nature knows what's coming. You know, you just look at the earthquakes that are happening at the moment. I wrote a few down. Since June, it's a little pet thing I've got this. I've got this little app on my iPad for earthquakes. And since June, there's been almost 30 earthquakes in that ring of fire, but over 6, which is quite one that you need to look up about. But the big ones are, it started in California now. That's the ones they're saying you need to look for. But when I looked at these ones, there was 5 of them all round, and they were right next to each other. So nature knows what's coming. Nature's telling us, the Lord himself, you even know when it's going to be stormy, red sky at night. Shepherds, you know, we know that one from when we were kids. He said, but you can't, you don't know what's happening in Scripture. So like the buzzard, it's got to get higher and higher before it can see perfectly. 3 miles away, you try and work that one out. That's another mystery. How can that see a mouse that big 3 miles away? It's got to be at a certain height. It's got to be at that perfect height to know, to see what it is. And that's why we've got to get into Scripture. We've got to get so much into Scripture, because this is the living word. If we don't read it, we don't know what to do. We don't know how things are going to pan out. But the more we get into Scripture, the clearer we can see it, and we can see what the Lord wants us to do and what's coming. It's our blessed hope. You know, are we really truly hoping for this? Yeah. What is it? That's happened. Well, that means that's coming soon, isn't it? Or is it our every breath that we breathe to be for the Lord? Yeah. If it isn't, you're the only one who can stand in front of the Lord. Yeah, I can't stand for you. You can't stand for me. We're the ones who are going to give an account for what we've done. You know, for the people we've talked to or haven't talked to, for the gifts we've been given. But it's all because he loves us. And we've got to have that love for each other. First with each other in the fellowship. But then we've got to send that love outside then. And we can only do it when we truly know him. When we're truly born again and covered in his blood. Amen.